That it is. Jay and Jay Show. 3:35. It's cool in here, though.
I know, but I can feel my skin burning.
Oh, come on.
Already.
Oh. This is the day you go. This is the day you go golf, and you're sweating.
All right, the Cubs fans have to show up today, don't they?
Oh, yes.
Well, it's a big game. You got a big game.
It's a big game.
On the west side of town, though.
Yes.
I mean, this is a summer day. Couldn't ask for anything better. Good day to go out to Wrigleyville Bars beforehand and afterward.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to show up.
I know what Mike's saying. There's the Bulls game tonight, but there's, approximately 43 million people in Chicago. Is that about what it is?
I'm kidding.
But, you know, there's plenty of people there that can go to the Cubs-Cardinals game and still, I mean, just DVR the Bulls game, right, is what you do?
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be packed. I think this might be the start of the baseball season for Cubs fans. This gets it going. Cardinals are in town. Let's get it rolling.
Is this rivalry still huge?
Oh, yeah. It is to me.
To all Cardinals fans, even though the Cardinals kind of have had the number lately?
No, it's always to me. It's always special to play the Chicago Cubs. I love it. Well, I love seeing the Cardinals and Cubs.
Christy, she tweeted at me. I said, what does this rivalry mean to you, Cubs and Cardinals fans? And you can find me at Warner Connect FM. And she said, you know, I remember when this rivalry had teeth. Now it's more like PETA relatives. The rivalry is with Cincinnati now. And she's a St. Louis Cardinals fan.
That makes some sense.
I don't agree with that at all. Because, I mean, I just don't agree with that. The Reds have been relevant for 1 year. They were good in the 70s.
Yeah, but when were the Cubs really relevant?
Well, but it's always been a good rivalry. It's always been the Cubs-Cardinals. It's the Yankees-Red Sox, Cubs-Cardinals, Dodgers-Giants. I mean, those are the rivalries. I'm not going against my fellow Cardinals fan there. I understand that the Reds are the team that you really want to beat now. But you still, me personally, I really want to beat the Cubs.
Yeah, she just says it's more competition now and less rivalry, not too much bad blood. Sorry, but
I agree with that.
With Cincinnati, with those I know, with her friends, she's more, you know, Cincinnati. She's Cubs and Cardinals fans, I guess are more civilized.
We're nice.
Yeah,
we're
nice. You guys are nice to each other.
Well, Johnny Cueto certainly didn't help that last year when he kicked Jason LaRue, and he now had to retire from baseball. But I'll still take a Cardinals Cubs game any day. And who knows if Ryan Terrio is going to get knocked down on pitch one. We'll have to see. You know, Adam Rittenberg covers, he's a Big Ten blogger for ESPN.com, and he joins us now on the Tay and Jay Show. Adam, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Awesome. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate you joining us. And before we get to something you had done, kind of ranking the Big Ten teams after spring practice, we want to ask you as an Illini fan why they're 9. But before we get to that, Pat Fitzgerald locking in till 2020, I think, is what Jeremy told me. How about that? I mean, that is a huge thing for Northwestern, right?
It is. It wasn't a major surprise, something that the Northwestern had worked on really since the middle of last season and more so after the bowl game. It just took a while to finalize it. But again, you know, I spoke with AD Jim Phillips earlier this afternoon, and you know, he mentioned it's the most significant contract they've ever done in their athletic history to have a 10-year deal for a football coach. So they're just trying to reaffirm their commitment to a guy who's very coveted around the Big Ten and around the country potentially in the coming years. So you know, they really want to enhance their program, not just for Fitz with the contract, but have better facilities, have better assistant coach salaries so they can keep assistants and things of that nature, really just trying to elevate their overall program profile.
Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com, Big Ten blogger, join us. Adam, what effect does this have on Northwestern, its prestige around the country? And also, what does this do for Illinois, an in-state rival, conference rival? Does this mean that they Northwestern's kind of stepped up its game a little bit and compete with Illinois for recruits a little more?
Well, I think they have, you know, tried to compete in some respects. I still think there are a lot of differences in how the programs go about recruiting, so I don't know how much they're going to cross paths, but it does mean that Pat Fitzgerald is going to be a presence in the state and in the Chicago area for the foreseeable future. And you know, for Northwestern, the question that they always have to deal with is how much longer they're going to have Pat Fitzgerald. It's almost assumed by most outsiders that he is going to leave, whether it's for, you know, to succeed Joe Paterno at Penn State. That's been out there, or to go to an NFL job or a more prestigious college job. And I think the thing that a lot of folks have a hard time grasping is that maybe this guy doesn't want to leave. Maybe he just wants to spend his entire career at the school. But in order to do that, you can't take anything for granted. You have to show him the commitment to facilities and other areas where, quite frankly, Northwestern still lags behind the rest of the Big Ten. So that this is a step towards doing that. But again, if they don't improve their facilities and follow through with those things, if they lose a bunch of assistants in the coming years, then I think it would be a shakier situation for Pat Fitzgerald. But it's definitely a step in the right direction.
Is there a ceiling to what he can do at Northwestern because of those issues?
Well, I think there's a ceiling as far as I don't think it's a program that will ever be competing for Blue League championships every year, but they've made three consecutive bowl games for the first time in program history, and they've shown really since 95 that they're a program that can compete in the Big Ten and make bowl games. So I think that the step for him is to show that he can lead his team to a championship in the Big Ten, which is only getting tougher. But maybe every four to 6 years you're competing for a championship, and almost every year you're making a bowl game. I think that's a reasonable expectation. But with their academic standards, their lack of tradition, the fact that they're never really going to be a sports and football factory, I think it's unrealistic to expect them to be competing for championships every year.
Tay and Jay Show, Lon Tay, Jeremy Warner, Mike Carpenter in with us today, and we welcomed Adam Rittenberg, Big Ten blogger for ESPN.com. And Adam, I'd like to get to your post-spring power rankings if we can now. Obviously, we were sitting here talking about the first four. Hard to argue with Ohio State, Nebraska, Michigan State, Wisconsin. But one thing that just kind of caught me by surprise, I don't know if it's because of the momentum from the Texas Bowl, hoping that Illinois would be better, is Illinois at 9.
Yeah, again, these are post-spring rankings. They're going to change. They will change. That's what I try to tell everyone, not to get too carried away with them. They're just kind of a fun way to get the discussion going. I really like a lot of what Illinois, the components to Illinois' team, especially on the offensive side. Really, really like what Paul Petrino did with that unit last year. Right. And I think that they have a chance to be even better this year. Shiel House seems to have made more strides after finishing the season with a very impressive performance in the bowl game. But, guys, you're replacing an all-Big Ten running back in LeSure, and more importantly, you really lose a lot on the defensive side as far as upper-level players. Martez Wilson, Corey Legit, who I feel was one of the most disruptive defensive linemen in the country, and Nate Bussey and so forth. So Illinois is one of these teams that certainly has a chance to climb up the power rankings, but I just want to see how if they can fill those gaps on the defensive side. And quite frankly, look at the history. They need to put together back-to-back good seasons.
Exactly.
That hasn't happened there. And until that's shown and we get a sense of how this team is coming together this fall, they are a team that's just hard to fully buy into at this stage.
With the schedule that Illinois has, it gives them a few breaks as far as Ohio State at home, not having to face Nebraska. Michigan State, I forget if we're playing them. If we are, it's at home. So really, for the elite teams, if we aren't playing them, they're coming to Memorial Stadium instead. How much of a break did Illinois get with the schedule? And you have them ninth in this ranking. Best case scenario, how high do you think they could climb in the Big Ten once the season gets underway?
No, that's a great point. I think the schedule, which has worked against Illinois, quite frankly, the last few years, right, is definitely working in their favor. And honestly, the big thing is to get Missouri out of the way. That series, I know fans loved it, but it just didn't benefit Illinois to play Missouri at the start of the season and lose that game. This year, with so many home games to start off, I believe it's 5 in a row, and then they go into a bye week, they have a chance to really make some noise early on. Arizona State's not going to be easy. That's a team that a lot of folks have in the top 25 entering the year. Northwestern, not going to be easy. They'll have Dan Persia back for that game. But Illinois definitely has a chance to build some confidence. They go to Penn State, a place that they won for the first time in team history last year, so they're going to have some confidence with that game. Like you mentioned, they have Ohio State at home. They miss Iowa. They miss Nebraska. So there definitely is a chance for Illinois to climb up those rankings. I don't know if they can contend for the division title, but you can make a case. I mean, Ohio State, we don't know what's going to happen with them and how they're going to respond to all this adversity. Wisconsin has to replace their starting quarterback and an All-American defensive end who was the 11th pick in the NFL draft. And they have to go on the road, I believe, to Illinois in addition to Ohio State. Penn State's got some question marks. Indiana and Purdue, are very, very shaky right now. So Illinois has a chance to make some noise for sure in that division.
He's Adam Rittenberg, Big Ten blogger for ESPN.com. And, Adam, I don't blame you for putting Illinois number 9. A lot of questions, especially on that defense. And that second tier with the Big Ten, Penn State, Northwestern, Iowa, Michigan, Illinois, it's hard to separate those because there's a lot of questions. But Brady Hoke at Michigan, how quickly do you think he can turn things around there?
Well, I think the defense can't get much worse. I mean, we've seen how bad they were the last few years. So I think the thing that – The defense will be better. It's just a question of can it offset what probably will be a step or two back on offense. I mean, it's unrealistic to expect Michigan to put up record-setting numbers again on offense, making a switch in the scheme, you know, with a bunch of guys who were recruited for the spread going to a new system, including Denard Robinson at the top of that list. So while I think they'll be better on defense, I don't think they're going to be nearly as explosive on offense. But they're going to be in games, and I don't think they're going to be as overmatched as they were in so many of those Big Ten games. The one that stands out to me the most, really the last two games of their regular season, Wisconsin didn't even have to throw a pass in the second half to beat them. And then Ohio State, it just wasn't a contest. It was probably the most uninspiring game I covered all season was the Michigan-Ohio State game, which really says something about that rivalry. So I think you're going to see less of that. I just don't know if you're going to see Michigan all of a sudden win 10 games in Brady Hoke's first year. It's going to take a little bit of time for them to get everything on track there.
And I know Nebraska is expected to make some noise in its first year in the Big Ten, but what does this do for the Big Ten in the long term, in the addition of Nebraska? Can this be a conference now that can compete, at least for some media attention, with the SEC?
Well, I think the media attention is going to be there this year with Nebraska coming in. But the big question, and you mentioned it, is can they compete for national championships? And, yeah. You know, the SEC has been so impressive winning 5 straight, but the more impressive thing to me, guys, is that they've had 4 different teams championships during that stretch. And you look at the Big Ten, and you ask an outside observer, or even somebody in the league, how many teams in the Big Ten are ready to compete for national championships year in and year out? People would just point to Ohio State. Mm-hmm. And really, I think that's the correct answer. So what Nebraska does is it gives the league another team that at least has the potential, given its history and the way things seem to be going under Bo Pelini, to compete for national championships. The more of those type of teams you can have in the mix, the better your chances are to actually win a national championship, which is really what all conferences are judged on nowadays. You can go 5-2 in the bowls like the Big Ten did last year, or 3-5, and there's some positive and negative, but ultimately it comes down to winning that national championship game, and the Big Ten now has a better chance to do so with Nebraska.
Adam, we got 30 seconds. How much longer is Joe Paterno going to be at the helm at Penn State? I want to know who knows this question.
You know, nobody really knows. I was out there this spring with Jay Paterno and his son, and he always gets asked about his dad. He doesn't even know. The guy is unbelievable. He clearly isn't as involved as he once was. But
sure.
But I would imagine it's just hard to bet against him. You'd think this would be his last year, but he could still coach a few more years.
Adam Rittenberg, he's the Big Ten blogger, ESPN.com. Go out and read him. He does a fantastic job. Adam, thank you very much for joining us here on the Tay and Jay Show.
Okay, thanks for having me.
All right, that is Adam Rittenberg. He does a great job with that stuff, even though he's got Illinois 9.
Yeah.
And you agreed with him.
And you were giving me some bad remarks.
I was.
Or some, you know, well, gestures off the
I
air.
Was kind of punching you.
Yeah.
Kenpo style. No, I'm kidding.
I think I'm with you guys.
I agree.
I go into this season with a little less optimism than a lot of people, and there's a lot to replace, especially defensively.
I think my optimism is this, and then we've got to catch a break. We're real heavy. My optimism is this, is kind of what Mike alluded to, is that they've got 8 home games, and I think that alone gets a person excited, thinking, hey, you got a chance, but it's still the Big Ten, and they're never easy.
359, call 217-359-2255. If you had anything you wanted to react to with what Adam was talking about, what we were talking about. Also, Cubs-Cardinals rivalry. Are you still excited for this thing? 359, call 217-359-2255.
Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
Connect FM.